Commissioner, questions? No questions? Oh, Commissioner Martinez.
Thank you. Just a question for clarity. It looked like for the max borrowing, we were using the full Measure D revenue, but really it was constrained based on what the active transportation line item could support. If we were to go that route, does that then constrain full Measure D revenue for other borrowing for other projects?
I'm sorry if that wasn't communicated correctly. That is the Measure D active transportation revenues that are assumed for that, not full Measure D revenues.
Oh, got
Melissa,
it.
Did you have anything to add on that? Or I think
no, that's correct. Yeah, so that's the fully constrained just for active transportation. And there would be capacity for other borrowings within other program area.
So we wouldn't be tapping into the other Measure D revenues for borrowing for active transportation projects?
Not under the scenarios that we've proposed.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that.
Commissioner Jensen.
Yeah, just wanted to clarify. You said that in the staff report about the segments 10, 11 that are over budget by the $72 million, that's not included in these scenarios or what you explained today?
It is included to an extent. So it's actually segments 8 and 9. So the city-sponsored project from the San Lorenzo, well, from the wharf all the way to 17th Avenue, as well as the county project from 17th Avenue to State Park. I think to answer your question specifically is the total potential cost funding gap based on the current project cost estimates could not be fully filled by Measure D revenues. The scenario that comes closest to that is by providing a borrowing about $55 million in order to partially complete that funding gap, but additional sources would still be needed.
Just sorry, got to clarify. So 55, but it's projected at 72. So that's a shortfall in there. Is that correct?
That would be continued to be a shortfall after Measure D active transportation funds are exhausted based on the current project cost estimates. And we have to keep in mind that we're constantly revising them, but we try to keep you updated every time we have a revision.
And at the same time, you look at like what revisions are. At the same time, is there like a sliding chart that kind of outlines what that looks like for future Measure D projects further down the line, like where that, if there are no more grants or additional funding committed, what those, like what impacts those have? And if I just, I know we're looking at Measure D overall, but if I'm just talking about the rail trail project, you know, what does that do further on down the line if you get, you know, past segment 11 and you're starting to run over? Is there a scenario what that looks like, or is it, and is there a line that gets drawn that where that stops at, or what does that look like in the future?
Yeah, I think it might be helpful if we could back up, I think, 3 slides, Yesenia. Maybe we can look at that together. It might be helpful. Here we go. There you go. This is a longer-term program. Yes. So what we would see under that scenario is we would have very limited capacity in Measure D in the long term to serve as leveraged for funding state and federal funds. So we would have a much reduced, significantly reduced amount of funding in the future to leverage state and federal funds for future segments, whether that be for initiating new projects or for additional cost overruns.
Thank you.
Great. Just to clarify, this isn't for Measure D overall. It's only for active transportation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Shiffrin.
Yes, thank you. A couple of questions. Does this financial analysis assume no additional construction funding outside of Measure D? So it's essentially saying that if we were to build out the remainder of 8 through 11, we'd see what the financing is, and we'd sort of exhaust everything. But that assumes that there's no additional construction funding that it will be possible to get.
That is a correct assumption.
Okay. So the other...
Or that is assumed in this, not a correct assumption.
The whole staff report here, and I think it's very useful, and thank you for providing it, really focuses on what's needed. I want to ask questions about what we may potentially lose if we're not able to go forward with these projects. Because as I understand it, we have from the director's report, we've received $106 million in outside funding for the 8 through 11 rail trail segments. Is that?
In my director's report, I was talking about as of fiscal year 2024. So since then, we've received another
$19.5 million. So we've in addition to that, we've received about $120 million for segments 8 through 11.
So my question is, how at risk is that funding? What do we have to do so that we don't lose it? Because that's a real concern. I mean, we can if we're trying to figure out a way to fund the gap. The financing gap, it all becomes moot if we lose the grants. If we lose $120 million, we've got nothing. So, and it will be very difficult to ever find a way to get funding for any other rail trail segments in the, because we've failed to produce. So what risk is that $120 million at? Are there timelines that we have to meet in order not to lose that funding?
Yes, the project funding was awarded to the city and the county, so I'd also like to make sure I provide them an opportunity to answer the questions if I don't fully answer them. But we do have a funding deadline for asking for construction allocation of June 2027 for those projects.
So if we're not able to start construction on June 2027, which means we've got to get past not only 60% design, but 100% design, and we've got to have full construction funding by that time, we will lose $120 million of outside funding. Is that, I just want to put it into context. Certainly, the funding situation is bad news. I wish it wasn't so. And ultimately, the commission's going to have to be in the position of facing up to, are we going to be able to build these segments? And I just want to put into context the discussion about, from my point of view, looking for additional construction funding for segments 8 through 11, because I think it is clear we're going to need money for management, we're going to need money for segments 13 through 20, and they're just as important as the ones that have received $120 million for. But we've got to produce, we've got to build those segments if we're ever going to be able to be able to complete the trail. So it's that's the challenge I think we face at this time. But I think it's not, financing can be helpful potentially, but it's not going to solve our problem. If we're not able to identify and obtain additional construction funding, we're not going to have a rail trail in the Mid-County area or for the rest of the county. I think it's a depressing picture, but I think it's important for the commission to recognize that that's the boat we're in. We've been extremely fortunate to get $120 million in outside funding allocated to just 8 through 11, not to mention the amount that's also available for segment 12. But somehow we're going to have to figure out a way, or we're going to have to find help from the outside to really make these projects happen. Thank you.
No problem. To simply answer your question, yes, the city and the county are responsible for fully funding these projects. The California Active Transportation Program does not provide funding for cost overruns. So any kind of potential cost increases are the responsibility of the project sponsor. And they've all communicated to the RTC the need for support. And in the April 2024, RTC did say that they would support segments 10 and 11 to help fully fund that project through a variety of strategies. So I think the simple answer is, yes, it is our local responsibility to seek outside funding to fill that funding gap or to use local funds. The second piece is we have been looking under every rock for additional funding. This last year alone, we applied for two additional federal grants. We were very successful in receiving the builds or raise grant in 2024. It took us a while to receive approval after the new administration was in place, but we have received a draft agreement and we're working to complete that. Maybe I was talking too much. Okay. Hopefully that answers your question. This is just one scenario for if it was to be rely on Measure D funding, we will continue to seek outside funding sources. We have been very successful. The City of Santa Cruz submitted a grant for Safe Streets for All program, $20 million, I believe it is, 20.5 for segments 8 and 9, and we'll learn about that in December. That does require a local match, and I think we'll be hearing more about that in the next couple months through Measure D programming, potentially a consolidated grant program, but we are seeking outside funding sources and we've been successful, but we have limited options.
And I'd like to just add for perspective, we came to the commission a little over a year ago to kind of disclose the fact that these projects are over budget and that we are in need of getting the costs under control. We did the value engineering, we applied for the grants. We're getting to the point now that we don't have the luxury of time and multiple cycles of grants to pursue. So I would just, to manage expectations, you know, staff can't, you know, may not be able to just go out and try to find $72 million or, you know, of that magnitude. It's to the point where we're running out of time, and we're very fortunate to have gotten what we have currently. In fact, the RAISE grant that Grace mentioned, we were very fortunate to have won that grant. Those programs are highly competitive. And so just to provide a little bit of perspective of timing and to manage expectations, that there's very few options at this point to go find additional money.
And just wanted to add one other point of clarification, that the request for the construction allocation is the June 2027 timeframe. You don't have to begin construction at that time, but that's the what the grant application requires, or that grant cycle requires for seeking the allocation, just because I know we have lots of members of the public who pay very close attention to these details. And then there are opportunities to return to the California Transportation Commission for extensions, but those are all subject to the California Transportation Commission. If you've been noticing, the current active transportation program cycle is much, much smaller in terms of available funding than the cycle in which we were awarded. So we were at the right place at the right time, but there's certainly a lot of projects out there that I'm sure the California Transportation Commission also wants to fund and has limited funding. So all of those actions would take be subject to the California Transportation Commission approval.
Commissioner Clark.
Good morning. Thank you for that presentation and the information. It's a big pill to swallow there. Just a couple questions for you. So, and this kind of piggybacks on the last thing we were talking about, but if we were to scale back our design or our scope for going forward, how might that affect our current grants and for the affected segments in this proposed plan?
For the California Active Transportation Program, we'd need to request a scope change. That could very likely require approval from the California Transportation Commission. It's unclear if it would be considered a minor scope change through staff or would be the California Transportation Commission overall. I'm still working through the details for the federal grant since we don't have the agreement, so I could return with information about how that scope might be impacted.
Okay. And then looking at our graphs here, and thank you for those, I love the picture that it presents, but if I'm reading this correctly, is there an assumption that there's no more capital cost after 3031 and everything is going towards either project maintenance or debt service?
That's what this third chart shows, is that yes, that we would not have new capacity or very limited capacity.
Unless we have a bake sale or something. Okay.
And I do like to point out that, in a way, as your interim director, Mitch Weiss, would say, we are a victim of our own success. We are advancing these projects ahead of time because we've been so successful. So it can look like a very difficult pill to swallow, but it is because we're bringing these public benefits sooner.
And just to refresh my recollection, what is the total capacity as we understand it now today of Measure D and active transportation? If that's a fair question to ask.
Yeah. 174 million is what we presented previously. Melissa, do you have an update for the Measure D active transportation program?
A total capacity project-wise, including these projects.
The total revenues, I think, is the question for the program.
What's our revenue capacity?
Right. I can pull it up. I don't have it.
Okay. I think it's around, I'm pretty sure it's around 175 million. But we do update it every year.
Yeah, I think previously you presented 174. As I was adding up the anticipated longer term programming constraint, that came to 164. So I'm wondering if there is, if there's which one of those numbers is more closely correct? And then the follow up to that, of course, is, well, what have we obligated up to this point? So we know how much bandwidth we have left. And again, if that's not something you have readily
available. We do have that. So what we've assumed here is that we've obligated about 40 million.
Okay.
Yesenia, if you could go back two slides. There you go. That's the current programmed amounts right there.
And these are great questions, and we can make sure to hit on those points when we come back as part of the November Measure D 5-year plan update if there's any updates or corrections we need to make on those.
Yeah, and that's it for my questions. But when my fellow commissioners are done, I do have a motion I'm prepared to put forward.
Thank you. I have one question. So what we're talking about overruns, but how much the current cost from 8 through 11? Just the current cost, because we're talking about 72 overruns, but what is the current cost of segments 8 through 11?
Answer that. That's the prior.
Sure. Morning, Chair and Commissioners. Rob Tidmore with the County of Santa Cruz. I'm the project manager for segments 10 and 11. I think the question is, what is the total cost for segments 8 through 11.
Yes.
So segments 10 and 11, the total cost is $137 million, and segments 8 and 9 is $88 million.
And how much grants have we received in total between those two, 8 through 11?
Between those two projects, $120 million.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anybody else have any questions? Commissioner Schifrin.
I want to follow up on that. I misunderstood your question. Since a different question was answered, I'm going to ask the question I thought you were going to ask, which is how much money has been spent thus far for segments 8 through 11? And if the commission does not construct those projects, would it be on the hook for returning the money that is as a result of using the grants? I mean, because we've already spent a big chunk of money doing the work for those segments. So I'm just wondering how much that is.
Yeah, correct. So I'll speak for 10 and 11, and then I'll let Matt Starkey speak for 8 and 9. So for 10 and 11, we spent about $4.2 million or so. The vast majority of that has been local Measure D funding for the preliminary design and environmental review for the project. We are now, working through some of the first pocket of ATP funding for final design, but we've spent probably, I don't know the exact number right now, but $200,000 or $300,000 so far.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, and then the follow-up there was, would we be on the hook to return that? And so, of course, with the Measure D funding, no. With the design of the project, the feedback we got from Caltrans is that the design is, you finish the design.
In case you didn't hear that, he said that, because the microphone cut out, that we would not be on the hook to pay back design money to the state.
And then for segments 8 and 9, we've just been spending our money on the planning design phases, and that's about just under $5 million. Correct.
how much is ATP? Yeah, that's all.
Any other questions? Commissioner.
I'm director.
Okay, I have a Commissioner question. Zerpa, I'm sorry.
Do we have any contingency built into this budget for litigation? Because we have several, right? We have some suits that are already pending. We have more likely anticipated. I know this is a closed session issue, but I'm just curious, is there any money built into this?
For the segments 8 through 11 project costs funded by the state and federal funds, there's not a funding contingency for litigation for that. RTC could elect to program Measure D funding for those costs.
Okay. It's clear to me that we cannot afford. This is not feasible. I wish it were. And I want to thank all of the RTC staff. I got to know Riley Gerbron. We drove around for hours together down in Southern California. Very earnest, very hardworking, very committed to delivering a project just like Sarah is, and Grace and everyone else who's worked really hard. I don't think this is feasible for our county, however, and I regret to say that. And I think, Steve, you might have a motion.
Thank you. I think there was another question or something.
Question, then we're going to go out to the public. Then we're going to go out to the Commissioner Ritter.
Thank you, RTC staff. So as you guys know, I'm new here, right? I'm figuring things out as I go. Commissioner De Serpa, I feel like you kind of took my question out of my mouth, which is, it sounds like maybe we don't have enough money to do this, and our priority is to figure out how to like not lose the grant funding that we've gotten. So maybe we need to come up with some solutions. Thank you.